Welcome to Adriana's Mystic Connections on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you the second Saturday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Adriana's Mystic Connections is hosted by Adriana Lesniak, gifted angel reader. Adriana invites you to call in for guidance, wonderful, inspiring topics, and counsel from the angels. The second half of the show, she will be offering mini readings to callers. If you would like a mini reading, please call in at 1-646-378-0378. Now I give you your host, Adriana. Hi, Adriana.
Hello.
Good morning. Our music didn't play this morning.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Our music did not play this morning, but happy spring.
Happy spring. You know, it's that kind of day for me, honestly. But I'm just really blessed to have what I have this morning. I will take what I can get because, I tell you, it's been a challenge. And it's been a challenge for me personally and a challenge for me on a number of levels. But I'm very, very blessed to be here. And yeah, spring is about renewing, and people think about spring as birth, and it is birth, but it's also death, you know, because you're releasing the old, and releasing the old is necessary, but not always fun.
So true. So,
yeah. In order for a child to be born, a pregnancy ends. And, you know, the child is much more amazing than being pregnant. But for those of us who've been lucky enough to carry a child, you know that your body, when you have that person with you all the time, it's like two people in your body, suddenly you're a little lonely. You're all alone in this body and you're, once you give birth. So I think that it's been said before very eloquently, but having children is one great big series of letting go.
Wow. Very true.
Yeah. So my grandmother's birthday was March 21st, and often the spring equinox falls on March 21st. So she would always say her birthday, that in fact, it was a fun thing that she'd tell us. And it was something I always remembered. And, you know, for us, it was like her smiling and laughing. And I was thinking about, oh, yes, the wisdom of spring. For her, it was probably something her mom told her when she was little bitty. And it made her feel young and new again to think about that. Isn't that a wonderful gift we can give to someone to say
absolutely
something like that? And they carry
yeah,
it through their
beautiful
entire life. Yeah. What are your
and on through the generations.
Mother?
We don't even know if it was her mother's mother.
It could have been. You're right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I have three children, and my youngest child is moving out. And he's moving into an apartment, and he's moving into the next step of his life, and it's beautiful. And I'm really super proud of him. But, you know, as children will, he's being, you know, kind of a jerk about things. And not because he doesn't love me, but because he can. You know, he knows my love is there, and so he likes to play with it and bat it around like a cat plays with a mouse, you know, and it's like, ah. So I'm wishing him great love and success and moving on, and there's a part of me that's like, get out already. And another part of me that's like, don't go, you're leaving me. Which, you know, oh, the dichotomy.
I'm sure every mother can relate to that.
Yeah. And, you know, we want them to succeed, and we don't want them to be with us in the same house forever, do we?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, you're right, yes. We want them, you know, a successful launch is, you know, the end result of a very good parenting experience, in a way. You know, you prep them for their life, and they're ready to go. By the way, today I'm a Gift of Light in Columbus, Ohio. So if you're in the Columbus, Ohio area and would like to come, I'm also doing a lecture today about the Sacred Triad, which is a healing modality that I use to connect with your guides and angels and loved ones, and they help remove burdens from you. And they release pain, they release trapped energy, and it's an amazing experience. And I not only actually lecture about it, then I show you how to do it. And also, I'm lecturing about channeling Ascended Masters on Saturday and channeling animal guides on Sunday, and how to recognize messages from your animal guides. Do you know who some of your animal guides are, Penny? I know I have so many beloved pets and spirits, and pets and spirits are not necessarily animal guides, but they can serve that role sometimes. They animal guides, though, are wise ascended masters from the animal kingdom. Sometimes they are guides that have taken the form of animals. And sometimes they can be our beloved pets. Animal guides come in all shapes and sizes, not just cats and puppies. I have a beautiful horse animal guide, and he helps bring in spirit. He's my strength. But today we're going to be talking about grandmothers. And my grandmother came from the old country, so I associate everything Scottish about her. And so when I see Scottish things, I feel like she is, with me, or I'm sharing that heritage with her. And, of course, beyond her, there's all the other guys. I know my grandfather's name was Malcolm, for instance. But I should say my great-grandfather. And he never left Scotland. And so once he kissed his daughter goodbye, she went back one time to visit, but I think he had already passed. So he, you know, he kissed his daughter goodbye, and they wished her well, and they kept track of each other through letters and sometimes phone calls, but phone calls were very expensive back then and were rare. They were used for times of emergency when you were calling long distance, for the most part. And I found a precious letter from my great-grandfather, and he had actually written it to my mom. He was trying to get to know my mom. And my mom was kind of standoffish about it. She talked to me, and she said, well, you know, he used my proper name, and he was so formal. He just didn't seem like my type of guy. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you missed this experience of getting to know your great-grandfather, you know, because he used the right type of language in the letter. Does that even make sense? And, of course, at the time for her, a young girl, it did. But for us, looking at it, it doesn't. At least not to me. But I have a lot of pride in the fact that my grandmother came from Scotland, and she married a man whose ancestry also goes back to Scotland. My grandmother's maiden name was Macmillan. So she was a Macmillan, which if you know anything about Scottish ancestry, you know that that's, you know, somewhere up there. It's a well-known clan with a good reputation. And then my grandfather's name, which is actually my mother's maiden name, was Nab, and it was originally McNab, and they changed it to Nab to sound more American. And McNabs, when you read up them on history, are horse thieves and raiders, and so it's just sort of interesting because I kind of am a little bit more proud of the McMillan side, but, you know, it's good to know there's a little rascal in all of us, right? And it's amazing how much they gave up. You know, I'm talking about, you know, how sad I feel that my son's moving out and is going to live an hour away. Can you imagine their dismay knowing that they may never see their daughter alive again because she was leaving Scotland and going on to the great United States? And I do believe she made it back only a couple times. So it's sobering, really, when you think of it, that that's what you are doing, you know, is that you're starting a new life and you're creating for yourself a new place to live, and that becomes home. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and my husband said, oh, honey, they're going to be back. They'll be over all the time. And I'm like, you know, we weren't. When we had our place, no matter how small it was or, you know, no matter the furniture was lawn furniture because that's all we could afford when we started out, that was our place. And that's where we went back to sleep and live, and that's where we ate. And I think that's the normal course of things. Once we move out, we don't just stay at a place, unless we're going to visit for a bit, but it's never the same, you know? But he's only an hour away, and I know. I need to let the drama of it go. Oh, my gosh, my baby's leaving. So, spring. And for him, it's spring. It's this renewal. It's being born. It's moving into a new phase. And for me, it's the ending of this thing that we had for such a long time. And I really feel like my grandmother is with me today. A lot of times when I go to a show, I do bring in my ancestors and my guides and angels just to help me get there. They lift me up. For instance, I'm not sure if you can tell, but I have a little bit of a cold today. And I've been kind of working with the energies, trying to get it to back off a little bit. And I did travel from Michigan to Ohio. It was a 5-hour journey last night. And I asked for additional help to get there. And I tell you, I felt awake and refreshed and ready to go and just driving away, happy camper, till we got to the hotel last night, and then I collapsed. So I know they were with me, and I know my grandmother's been with me a lot. That's her birthday's coming up. She's got, you know, a week or so ahead. And I love it when the spring equinox falls right on her birthday. It always seems like a message to me. And so today, the question of the day is, I would like to know how your grandmother changed your life. What did she do that resonates with you in your life? You know, I mean, if my grandmother had never come to America from Scotland, where would I be? I'd probably be in Scotland somewhere, right? And also, my grandmother read tea leaves. Of course, I didn't know this. It was a hush-hush family secret. And she was extremely psychic. But it just really wasn't talked about. It was sort of a taboo subject outside of the family. Inside of the family, it was just a well-known thing. That she knew thoughts or knew where people were, knew if people were in trouble, and could provide counsel and wisdom.
It wasn't until after she passed that I found out that she read tea leaves. And I was so sad that she didn't share that part of herself with me, and that here I am, and I, you know, doing psychic stuff and intuitive, and it's a different world now. It's a different way of looking at these gifts that we all have, the ability to be psychic. And it used to be very taboo and mysterious, and you know, there were people who were not real, and we all know about that there are some people who do this, who try to put the odds in their favor by doing what they call a warm reading. A warm reading is when you have information ahead of time. So say like a celebrity psychic, a lot of them do warm readings where they ask, okay, well, who would you like to come through? And they'll know information about the person that they're reading for. And it's not cheating per se, but it does help them make a quicker, faster connection. Like, you know, they know for sure someone's mom is dead, then they can go, well, there's no death, but you know what I mean. They can go quickly over to the other side and, you know, ask for help getting her. Whereas if you're doing a cold reading, you're just going directly from spirit and seeing what's next. And the way that I work, I always do cold readings. And I feel more confident doing cold readings than I do warm readings, because I want everything to come from spirit. And if I've read someone 10 times, then I'm always a little concerned, you know, is this what I know or is this what I'm getting? And it's using, because you do try to separate yourself from your knowing mind, and you do try to go into that subconscious spirit world. I was talking with a client who I've read many times, and usually we start the reading and someone from her life comes through. And then that someone introduces themselves and talks for a bit, and then they start giving information about she needs to know what's going on in her life. So, you know, last time it had been her cute little dog, and she's like, a dog can tell you all that? And the dog was, like, running around the table and scratching and bringing me things and just, you know, being a wonderful conduit of information. And she laughed at the end of it. She said, you know, if it had been anybody else and he told me, you know, my little dog, I would have gotten up and walked out. But she said, it was amazing. Well, this time her mother came through. And her mother was just telling her how much she loved her and giving her a lot of confirmation and comfort, because there was some things going on in her life that she needed that. And at the end of the reading, she told me, you know, it's funny that it was my mom who came through, because a few nights ago I had a dream about my mother. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, I just wondered if it was really her. And I just had to laugh a little bit, because how many times I've heard that, you know? Was it really my mom, or was it really my dad? And the answer is, duh. Sorry. Yeah. And in this case, her mom had come and sat on the bed and talked to her. And, you know, she felt the presence of her mother, and she felt that warm, comfortable connection, and she felt, you know, the love, and she received the messages of comfort. But when she woke up, even though she knew all that, she still doubted herself. And she said, well, it felt like a dream. It felt like the reality. It didn't feel like reality. And the answer to that is, well, all that's true. It is an altered reality, and it is dreamlike. When you first start reading, you feel like you're making everything up, because that part of our brain that creates imagination, which imagination creates inspiration, is the same part that we use for psychic connections. So it does feel like you're imagining it when you first start out, because it's the same thing. And the more you do this, the more you recognize that a lot of your what you thought was imagination before this, before you decided you were psychic, was actually communication going on and you didn't realize it. People will talk a lot about visualization. Visualizing the future that they want, visualizing something, bringing it into being. And the first thing you do is you conceive it, and then you feel what that's going to look like. What's that going to feel like? What is it that it's going to taste like? How is it going to make you feel? Is it going to make you feel happy? Is it going to make you feel comfortable? Is it just a rung on the ladder? Is it just something that you're striving for? So one of the things of achieving your goals is visualizing it. And a lot of times that's helpful in figuring out whether or not you actually want to achieve that goal. You know, visualizing, it's like, yeah, if I became a Hollywood star, then I would have to move, and I would have to go to New York or California, or I, you know, maybe I wouldn't be able to lead the life I know now. And, you know, if I become a world-renowned, famous, rich medium, you know, how would that change my life? You know, would it be all good? You know, is that something that I would really truly want in my life? And, you know, the first answer that comes is, yes, that's something I want. I'm open to abundance, and I'm open to people knowing about me. But the second answer is, but, hey, you know, you should see me in the morning, you know, before I wash my hair, or, you know, and I am not like your stereotypical Hollywood medium in that I don't dress to the nines and always have my nails painted. In fact, I almost never paint my nails anymore. I used to always have fake nails, but I think they look fake, and I think that they're bad for us. And so I have, you know, very plain nails, and I don't look Hollywood glamour. And so, you know, when you're picturing that, and you're trying to see whether or not you do want to be the next Teresa Caputo, you know, is that there's, you know, you're visualizing that, and you're like, well, maybe I want that, but a little different. You know, would I be a good Hollywood type medium? Maybe, but you know, I mean, can you imagine? She always has to have everything perfect. So her house always has to be perfect. Her life always has to be perfect. And those cute little arguments that they sage or whatever, You know, I mean, what about the reality of the screaming in each other's faces arguments that most of us have at one point in our lives with our family? So sometimes visualization is a really good thing in that it helps us figure out, okay, oh, yes, this is exactly what I want, or, I need to tweak that. So I want to be famous, but I want to retain some privacy, and I want to retain some ability to control my life. You know, Sylvia Brown was an amazing mentor to so many, many people, and she was an inspirational teacher to me. And she, as I'm sure many of you, she was a prolific writer, and I learned so much about spirit from reading her books, and I actually got to be in a spirit festival that she was lecturing at, and she lectured there, and so we were the psychics for the fair afterwards. She was not a psychic there. She was just doing the lecturing. But it was so close to her, you know? I mean, I didn't get to touch her or anything, but it was so close to her and so close to her warm, generous spirit that I felt so blessed. You know, Sylvia Brown, I think, is the poster child for the pluses and minuses of being famous. Because when you're famous and you make a mistake, you, especially doing something like this, you get flayed alive. It's like, oh, my God, she made a mistake. Obviously, she must be a charlatan because she got that wrong and she got that wrong. And, you know, we don't say that about a lot of men. And everybody is human, and everyone makes mistakes, and everyone is going to have a good day and going to have a bad day. And, you know, a lot of times I can do an amazing reading for someone, and we are on this wonderful vibrational level, and then the next reading comes in, and I'm sitting there, and I have to attune to their vibration, and it takes a minute sometimes. It's, you know, there's that moment. It's so easy to look around at our mentors or icons or people we take inspiration from and tear them down if, oh, look, she tripped. Ha ha. How could she be psychic if she tripped? You know, she should have known that there was a pothole there or crack in the sidewalk. The answer is we all trip. You know, and if you think someone's perfect and never, never makes a mistake, then you're not allowing them to be human. You're not giving them the opportunity to exist and be that unique person that they are. To be addicted to a show, America's Next Top Model, I don't know if any of you ever had that. I used to love to watch that show. These sweet girls coming in, they all want to be models, and of course they're all beautiful, and they're all unique and different and quirky. And Tyra said something that really stuck with me, that beauty, pure perfection beauty, is boring. You know, what makes people beautiful is not the making sure that the eyes are the same and the nose is a certain length and that the face is proportional. What makes people beautiful and interesting is the differences. What it is that that is different or unique, or the imperfections. Like when you think of a famous model like Cindy Crawford, you know, the first thing we think of is that beauty mold. Tyra was always saying her forehead was too big. And, you know, but that became, you know, you look at her and you could instantly recognize her face anywhere. So it's easy to visualize what it is that you want in life and make it happen, but it's a good thing to visualize. Just make sure you want it to happen. When you're doing a psychic connection and you haven't done it, it is going to feel like you are just imagining it. You're just making it all up. And then as you do it, you get more and more validation, and you get confirmations, and you start getting really, really cocky, and you think, wow, man, I'm fabulous. I'm great at this. And then, you know, you get things wrong, or things didn't happen quite the way that you thought they would or that you said they would. My dear friend and office manager, her name is Donna, is the recipient of much free psychic advice for me. So I get information from her loved ones, and I'll pass it along. And a few years ago, I told her that her husband should go for another job and that there was a friend who was going to help him with that. And she was all excited and told Dale, and I was all excited, and then nothing happened. And the friend didn't reach out, and I felt like, oh, you know, boy, did I get that wrong. And it was embarrassing because, you know, this is my friend and office manager, and I don't understand. And it was such a clear message. But then this past year, that opportunity came in. And because all these messages had been passed along, even though it was a year after they had received that message, because of what they heard, they were able to recognize it and understand that this was opportunity that had been discussed. And it was great, you know, for me, because I finally got the validation. It's like, aha, yes, that was a true, real, valid message. Oh, good. You know, but we had to wait a year. And sometimes the timing on the other side isn't the same. Okay, so you know what? We are at that half hour. Look at that. That went by quick. So, Penny, are you there?
Absolutely. And that was so interesting, some of the things you said. And one of them I want to mention is that, you know, I had asked a couple of your callers today what area, like, was it, you know, relationships or finance? And I didn't realize that you only did coal readings, but that makes perfect sense to me, because I've actually had the pleasure of sitting and having a reading with you, and it's been amazing. So I won't tell any of the questions, but we do have callers lined up. If anybody else wants to ask Adriana a question today, please call in at 646-378-0378. And if you are as amazed with her as I am, you'll want to know how to contact her. I would suggest that you go to her website, which is mysticconnections.com. You can read what other people have said about Adriana, check her calendar to see where you can meet her in person, and even sign up to have a healing or a reading done. So, and I'm sure you can access her contact information there, too. Let me check. Yep, everything is right there. Her phone number, 248-379-7324, and you can email her at mysticconnect@aol.com. Now for the people that have lined up, we're going to call in Laura, who is calling us from New Jersey. And Laura, before you talk with Adriana, Adriana's wondering, what, if anything, did your grandmother do that changed your life?
Hi, Laura.
Laura, can you?
Hi.
Did you hear the question?
Yeah, I was young when my grandmother passed, so I'm not really sure what I could say to that effect.
Okay.
They also came over from Scotland, so I wouldn't be here if her father hadn't brought the family over.
Yeah. Oh, so did you say from Scotland?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hello, cousin.
Hi.
Do you know which clan you're from?
Carnegie and also McAllister on both sides of the family.
Oh,
Isn't that fun? You know, did you love Braveheart when it came out before Mel Gibson turned into a complete jerk?
Yeah. I had a hard time watching the movie.
Yeah, it was so violent, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that our grandparents were so strong and so brave. Can you imagine going to another country now and starting a new life?
No, I can't.
Can you give me your grandmother's name? And I feel like it's mother's side.
Euphemia.
Can you give me that one more time?
Euphemia.
Euphemia. Yeah, that's what I heard the first time. You said it. Okay, and okay, so she's saying there's another female with her. Is your mother crossed, or is there another female you resonate with who has was close to mom? There's a mom.
Yeah, it would be my mom, her daughter.
Okay, because, yeah, she was indicating that. And your mother's name?
Shirley.
Okay, so Shirley wants you to know how much she loves you. She loves you very much. And, you know, we don't always feel this way, but people on the other side, you know, they only have a short amount of time to express their feelings. And she, for some reason, is asking you to forgive her for what happened near the end of her life. So,
yeah. She, yeah. It's okay. I mean, I understand.
Okay.
She catered to my brothers a little bit, and it caused a lot of problems.
She's asking your forgiveness for that, and she wants you to know how special and wonderful you are, and that she feels like she sort of takes you for granted, and she wants you to know that she's in your life now, and she's humbly asking you to forgive her for past mistakes, you know, and look at the beauty of your life that she helped in many ways create, you know. I mean, she's saying you have a pretty blessed life. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, we sometimes look at all the things that we want or lack. We don't always look at what we have. And so she's saying it's so blessed. And you have children?
No.
Oh, no children?
No.
Who has two children?
My middle brother has two children. They're grown.
Okay. So she's reaching out to him, too. So can you say hello for her to him?
No, that won't happen.
Oh, okay.
That's not going to happen. But that's okay. No, I don't talk to them about this stuff. They're not as evolved in all this as I am. I've experienced things through the years, and it freaks them out, so they don't like to talk about it.
Oh. Well, you know, I completely understand that. Let me tell you, I have a friend who said, Adriana, you're as bad about spirit and about psychicness as born-again Christians are about their faith.
Yeah. I try to keep it under wraps a little bit. Not everybody understands. So.
And for us, it's such a gift. It's amazing. You know, we want everyone to have that because it is. But anyway, what is your question to me?
Well, I'm looking to advance in my career. So I want to be able to purchase a home this year.
Uh-huh.
And I just signed a contract for a year with a company yesterday, and I was wondering.
Okay, they were showing me that. So
they
were showing me that, so I didn't know exactly what that was, but you're showing me the signing of a contract. I didn't know that was, I was going to ask you about that. But they're telling me you will find your house, and they're telling me that put some of your money back in your pocket because you don't want to put a huge down payment on it, and it may not be, it's almost like they're saying, you know, get something for now. Don't get the big dream house. Get something for now because you're going to get something better later.
if that makes sense.
Well, okay, so I was looking online. There's a small home that I'm not in love with, but it meets a lot of my criteria. It's just that it needs fixed up inside. So I was telling myself I should settle for this home when my heart is with a different home that's on the market, but it's a little out of my price range.
It's
and
a little
I know that
price range, and you would
a
be
a lot
eating.
Probably, yeah. And then I was looking on the internet on the phone, and when I came out, because I had decided that I need to settle for the smaller home.
Yeah,
and when
that's
I
what they're
came out,
with. Yeah.
There were three pennies and three dimes on the ground. And
oh, yeah,
I had
three.
Yeah, and it was funny because when I went into the restaurant, I found a penny, and I thought it was from my dad because we used to collect pennies.
Aww.
And in the same thought, it crossed my mind. Oh, it's not a dime. I heard dimes are from the angels, so this must be from my dad. That's what I was thinking. So I thanked my dad. And went in, and then when I came back out after having decided that I really need to just accept the smaller home,
yep.
I had been looking at it. So when I came out, now I see three dimes and three pennies.
Oh, they showed me three. You know, they showed me the number three. They said, color, there's a three associated with the house, and I wish I'd gotten the chance to tell you. So, that's your confirmation. It's a smaller house. And then even before you started talking, they were telling me to put some of your money back in your pocket. So,
okay.
Yep, that's it. That's the house, and it's the house for now. It's not the house for always. But you would overburden yourself with that bigger house, and you would not be able to do the things that you'd want to do with it, like decorate it the way you'd want to, because there's not enough money. That's not yours now, but you will have something better than this house later, you know?
Yeah, it's just that I'm at an age now where I want to stay put where I move. I don't really feel like moving again, and I want to settle one last time, and that's it. So I'm stuck with that house if I go into that house.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I was hoping Spirit was going to give me what I wanted, though.
I think that that Spirit gives you what you need. And sometimes visualizing it, you know, if you just sit in that moment, you visualize it in that beautiful house and that beautiful big payment, and where's that money coming from, and where are you paying for your groceries again, you know?
Yeah.
So understand that you're cared for and that you're very blessed and that your mom said hello, and then you got
Thank
the penny
you.
From your dad, so, you know, you got that confirmation as well. Have a blessed, beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, Laura. So... that was, you know, such a blessing. And it's funny because they were showing me the three, but I didn't know if it was in the price of the house or the address of the house. So, Penny, who else do we have?
Well, we have Eric from Virginia that we're going to call on. And, Eric, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi,
hello,
Eric.
Adriana.
Hello,
Adriana is on with us too, and she's asking, what did your grandmother do that changed your life?
Well, the main thing is that she definitely loved us, and she was in a different country than where I was raised, and so she introduced me to a different culture, and so
what
I learned a lot. I learned a lot there by, you know, being with her, and so, and she was a great cook.
Oh, yeah. What was the culture?
Oh, French.
French. Oh, well, yeah, they're going to be famous for their cooking. Oh, how amazing.
Mm-hmm,
so did you get
mm-hmm.
to go to France to spend some time with her?
We spent vacations there, but there was quite a period where we didn't have enough money to go over there when I was a kid, so it was kind of almost a new experience going over there, let's say 7-8 years later. I mean, the main thing I remember is her love for
us. And she is giving you so much love. And she's also, for some reason, baking bread.
She cooked many good things.
Yeah, she's baking bread and she's putting it all together. She is sort of smacking you, though. She's giving you a good smack upside the head. And she's telling you to stop screwing around. She thinks that you're screwing around or not doing the things that you need to do in your life. She wants you to take responsibility.
And she's probably right that I have gotten off track, and I do realize that, that I need to get back to life goals.
Yes,
which I've been kind of, because of my situation with my mother's health and all that, it's been, I don't know, it's just made me lose touch with things. And
she has a book open, and she's pointing to the book, and when you started talking, she snapped the book closed, you know? And she's like, you are letting your life slip by. And I feel like your mother's health is unfortunately going to continue to deteriorate. And I understand that, and I understand that you do, in a way, have to put your life on hold. In another way, not too much, because she's concerned. Concerned enough to say, you know, make sure you're achieving some of your goals.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying you have such a big heart, you know, that you have this huge heart, but that you're not really thinking things through all the way right now.
That's probably true. It's hard to think straight.
Yeah.
Because see, the issue is that my... even though I'm not the only sibling, but I have another sibling, but the only person really to care for my mother right now is me.
Yeah, I feel like your other sibling is just sort of a, just like no strings attached, you know, kind of warm and loving, but just not, you know, always there.
And he's so far away, and he's not going to leave where he is. He's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, and... he's in a dream world.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, he's tapping into the... I'm not saying tapping. My mother is offering him financial support, which is really strange because now she's the one in need.
He may not be younger, but he has a younger vibe to me, like not as responsible.
Correct.
And, you know, I feel also like there's karmic things happening in his life. I feel like he has money, and then for some reason it disappears. So there's something that happens that just sucks his money up, and it's a karmic thing. And your mom is trying to take care of him, and she's not going to be able to do it for much longer. And he will take everything that she can give him. Because that's who he is, and that's his way of dealing things, and he's sort of used to being handed things. So she has
to be careful
about that.
Well, she's doing it, you know, now while she's still mentally, you know, there, alert. But you know, obviously the day that comes where, you know, when her brain diminishes even further, and she has to be taken care of by, like, somebody outside of me, then, you know, obviously that money needs to go to support her and to take care of her. And, you know, not to say we won't support my brother, but not to the extent that things are now. And you're absolutely right. He is older and acts like a teenager or college student.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also whatever's handed to him, and that's how he gets work. Whoever's around, whichever of his friends, they hand him work, and that's what he'll work, but he won't go and find work.
Mm-hmm. For your mother, it's important that she does give away things now so she can see that people have them. That's a good thing for her to do while she still has all of her facilities.
it's really important, and I know it doesn't seem like it, but it's really important that you speak up and you tell her what it is that you would like. Because as a caregiver and then as that strong support person, there's sometimes that feeling that, oh, they're there just for the love and they don't need anything. And a lot of times it's that strong caregiver person who kind of gets left out because there's not the understanding or the realization of how much, yeah, they did want that painting or they did want, you know, how much they feel that connection with the family china, you know. And instead, not understanding that family china is given to somebody else who takes it and sticks it in the garage, you know, so it gets pulled in the garage sale one day. So mm-hmm. it's important for you to express to your mom what it is that you want and not be self-sacrificing about that. That's so important. And I will tell you, because my mom passed, that I know how important that is. And give her the gift of giving you things so that you can enjoy them and she can see it. Be real and honest with her because she's going to continue to decline. But you're going to have her for a while yet. So be honest with her about expectations and about the money situation. And sit down and just work it out. What if she lives another 15 years, 12 years? You know, how is that money going to work out? Is she going to be in an extended care facility? And if so, where is that money coming from? So you have to be honest and work it all out. And I feel like she feels like everything's fine. And so maybe it's more of a concern down the road. But I have to tell you that, you know, are you willing to put your life on hold for another 5 years?
I'm just it's already come to the point where it has gotten really tough and exhausting. And the problem is communication, because she can barely speak. She can, I mean speak as in saying, she can only really say yes and no verbally, and then even that she gets confused, and then it's that scary. And then when she writes, she does still write, but it's sometimes garbled or it just doesn't exactly make sense. So
for you, it's almost like you are offering her your lifeblood. Okay, and saying, I will do what is needed, and I'm here for you, okay, and that's not helping you, and it's not helping her. So look at your goals, get back on track. Of course, you still have to be the caregiver here, but you need this for yourself because there's angerness and bitterness. And then when she passes, you know, just get ready because there will be that grief and that loss, but also just set that intention, talk to her now. How are you going to show me after you cross, you know, what's our communication? Is it going to be pennies on the street or is it going to be birds or, you know, what is it that she loves, that how she's going to communicate with you? And then you could choose that. And you know what, but it's been such a pleasure talking with you. I have to let you go because our time went by so quick.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. You've certainly given me great advice. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you for being an earth angel.
Okay, thank you. But
thank you, Eric. And now we have Jay from Canada who's calling in about a work project. Jay, can you hear us?
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, great. Jay, Adriana's asking, what did your grandmother do that changed your life?
Well, that was about 20 years ago, so if I can go back that far. On my mother's side, my grandmother on my father's side tried to get us together, and because I wasn't talking to my dad in a long, long time, so that was a great thing. And my grandmother on my mother's side, I think she always, from my experience, she made Christmas is actually pretty good. So, and just watched her make Japanese food all the time. So I remember that.
Make what food?
Japanese food, actually.
I thought that's what you said.
Yeah.
Really? So
was that something she just liked to make, or was there a cultural reason?
Usually at Christmas time, she did that.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's so amazing when we have those cultural, especially food. You know, because for instance, Scottish food for us was, you know, everyone knows haggis, of course, which is horrible. But there's actually some good tasting Scottish food. It's wonderful that you have that. So when you eat Japanese food, maybe you think of your grandma.
Yeah, and we have different mementos that she left, like a knife set for cutting sushi and things like that. So.
Yeah, you know, and that's incredibly important to cooks. You know, their knives are, it's like an extension of their self, and they're very picky about them. I have a budding cook at home who gets really angry when I put one of his knives in the dishwasher. It's like, oh, no, sorry. but what's your question today?
My question is about projects I'm working on right now at work. I just feel that my boss is not appreciating much work as I put into my work job that he thinks I'm doing. And so I just wondered.
I feel like there's one that's got a lot of fanfare or a lot of support that's just not going to get very far off the ground.
Okay.
So I feel like you want to make sure that you have eggs in more than one basket. And it really has nothing to do with your work ethic or with the type of work you're doing. It's outside forces that just are not going to be in alignment. And so don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm.
And your boss is somehow diminished. Like their capacity is diminished or cut back somehow. And I feel like you're feeling the brunt of that. Try to be understanding of what they're going through and asking for help, because there seems to be some type of transition going on right now. It's a transition or a change that's affecting your boss. So this is not the end of your position there. It's just that I would not have all my eggs in one basket as far as the project is. I would have several.
Okay.
Oh, boy, that was quick. Our time went so fast.
I know. So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You know, you need to do things about your bones. You need to do things to enhance your bone strength. So,
okay.
Are you, you know, doing a little bit of weightlifting or weight-bearing things for yourself? It's just going to help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what it is they're showing me, but it seems like you need to take care of your physical self. And I feel like you're in good shape, but that there's, like, your bones need to be hardened.
Right. Okay.
I think that we who work on projects, that type of thing, tend to sit a lot, so we need to make sure we're also taking care of the physical.
Yeah. Yeah, I do sit a lot of
like
work.
A weakness in the back area, so you may be having some strange back pain or maybe some pains across the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
That will be helped with doing a little weight-bearing exercises.
Okay.
Well, bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Andrea. Thanks so much for the reading. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day, and salute your grandmothers and your grandfathers. We didn't get to talk about grandfathers, but, you know, salute your grandparents. Salute the people who brought you here and made sure that you were born. And if that's the only contribution to your life, that's still a pretty freaking big contribution. Have a beautiful day.
You've been listening to Adriana's Mystic Connections. To connect personally with Adriana, go to mysticconnections.com. And if you're in Ohio, she's doing a talk today. You can also connect with her on Facebook. And next month, same day, same time. Thank you for listening to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio.